Everything I know about life I learned from my garden hose. As I see it, managing life comes down to some very basic techniques. The best ones are the same ones I use to manage my garden hose, or rather, how my garden hose teaches me to manage myself. First of all, what is it with that particular type of rubber or whatever it is that makes up a garden hose? The whole look of a hose creeps me out. As a girl from the wilds of the Bronx, the only time I saw a hose was when the firemen carried one, and that's a whole nother story for another time. As an adult, a garden hose looks to me like a pile of snakes, and that's nothing but scary. I had no idea what it takes to care for a yard when I bought this house with an endless yard. When I was growing up, my cousins were the only people I knew with yards. They lived in the suburbs, far from the apartment I lived in. When we went to their house, it was usually for parties, and there was no yard work going on. How was I to know what yard work really entailed? Who knew I would have to deal with snakes disguised as hoses? Every day dawns on a new wrestling match with the hose. No matter how I attempt to maneuver that thing around the yard, it bends back over itself and forms a crimp, stopping the flow. The crimp always happens in the part of the hose that is farthest from where I am standing. That's a given. First, I curse. Then I take a deep breath and force myself to think about how lucky I am to have a yard to water, because I really do love the yard. But where is the gardener who was supposed to come with it? I force myself into the gratitude headspace, which is so much better for me than the foul-mouthed headspace, though I must say the muttered cursing under my breath does feel good. Having placed myself in gratitude, I approach my watering with innocence on this particular day. I contemplate where to place the hose. Because I have given up on those fancy adjustable nozzles that always leak at the connecting juncture, I must carefully choose where in the yard to place the end of the hose. It's an important decision, because poor placement will lead to the decapitation of delicate flowers as I stomp over to deal with the inevitable hose crimp and the water as it floods from the open end once I get it uncrimped. I turn on the water, but nothing comes out. Crimped. I make my way over to the crimped area and lay the hose out nice and flat, then head back to the watering end. The full force of the water flowing after being stuck in the crimp now makes the hose swing around, spraying everything in sight, including me. That water is shockingly cold. Where has that water been stored? In an ice house? It's 90 degrees in the shade, and that water is cold enough to soothe a polar bear. Needless to say, I scream when it soaks me. Then I curse. Of course I'm wearing the wrong shoes, because I had thought I would do just a little watering before I head off to town. My nice sandals are soaked, and water is squishing up between my toes, caking mud in between my feet and the sandals, which feels like I've stepped into a family of worms, or worse, dog poop. I know this feeling because I have stepped into both at different times in my forays around the yard. The feeling is all too familiar and, well, frankly, oozy. I turn around to water the apricot-colored roses, which smell like candy, and another crimp forms further up the line. I curse again. I slide over to the crimp in my oozy sandals, uncrimp it, and return to my watering of the north part of the yard where the roses are blossoming. The smell is so intoxicating that I slip into rose-induced reverie for a moment. Then I am back on course. My plan is to make my way over to the south part of the garden and water the magical wealth garden I've created there. I created the wealth garden because my feng shui consultant told me that spot was the wealth part of my garden and suggested I put red and green plants there. Far be it from me to ignore the suggestions of my feng shui person. I need all the help I can get, and if she says red and green that corner, red and green it is. I've also made a small shrine in that garden. I created it to honor a precious baby robin who fell in early flight training. No, he didn't die, but he was poked by the snouts of my curious dogs and is now recuperating in a nearby town's wildlife sanctuary. Greenwood Wildlife, Lyons, Colorado, always in need of donations. Please help. I have been calling the sanctuary to check on their dear robin, whom we call Robert. I watched Robert grow from the time he emerged from his gorgeous blue egg to the speckled youngster he became when he crash-landed in the yard. I moved his nest to my wealth garden and put crystals and a ceramic bird in it to remember him, and I send him blessings for his full recovery every day. A refuah shalema. Birds don't return to their nests once they have gone. They know you can never go home again. Except for Thomas Wolfe, we humans don't seem to know that, but birds do. It turns out Robert is a perky, feisty little guy. He is now in a cage with other wounded robins and will soon be moved to a flight cage for full rehab. When he is ready to be released, I will pick him up at the wildlife sanctuary and return him to the yard where his parents, who think he has gone off to war and have tied a yellow ribbon on the tree, wait for him with hope in their red-breasted hearts. The south part of the yard is a bit of a trek across from where I am now watering, so I start to drag that beast of a hose, which is 10 times its normal weight now that water is running through it. Who knew that water could be so heavy? No wonder I feel fat. Aren't I 70% water? I pull on that hose. In fact, I pull and I pull. Nothing is happening. I look over to see that the hose is entirely and completely entangled unto itself. The more I pull, the tighter that knot of twisted rubber becomes, and that entire rat's nest of hose is wound around the stump of a tree that was supposedly removed last year. Since I paid someone to remove that tree, how come the stump is still there to torment me? All the pulling in the world will not budge that hose. I take a deep breath. I drop the hose and go to shut off the water. I know that this untangling can only be done with no water flowing. Water safely turned off, I approach the knot of all earthly knots, moving as carefully as a priestess adventuress advancing towards danger. All I see are dusty green snakes, a bed of sleeping snakes entangled together. Tentatively, knowing I could be bitten or squeezed to death by the anaconda of a hose I am now approaching, I cautiously move different parts of the hose until it is loosened enough so I can see where one part folds back onto itself. As I lift different parts of the hose, dried, caked mud deposits itself on my lovely skirt. Who waters the garden in lavender silk? A priestess does. A priestess who hasn't yet installed a sprinkler system set to a timer. I start with an end and wind it through the tangle. After what seems like many days, during which the moon has traveled from noon to full, I have untangled that mess of hose. Once again, patience and perseverance have won the day. I turn the faucet back on and water the wealth garden. When the garden is well soaked, I turn the faucet off and wind the hose over its holder as neatly as I can. I am now totally exhausted and cannot even think of going off to do what I had planned. Instead, I get in my car and go to the frozen custard stand where I order 2 scoops of vanilla in a waffle cone covered with chocolate sprinkles, which drips all over my lavender silk sheath dress. I just don't care anymore. My yard is watered. I'm eating frozen yogurt on a sunny day in my beautiful town. Robert is recuperating and will return home soon. So what do I have to complain about? My clothes can be washed, my shoes will dry out, and tomorrow is another day in the hose jungle. What could be better than that? Life is a tangled, unpredictable mess, requiring patience, perseverance, occasional cursing, and laughing at oneself, followed by the hefty rewards of sweets. And if you're lucky, you get to save a bird or two along the way. Robert was returned to the yard with 4 robin friends. I sent away 1 bird and got back 5. Not a bad investment in love and caring, I'd say.